Blog Talk Radio.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
America, home of the witches, frontin' like they brave, they just slaves to the riches. Five old slave catchers, leave a brew missing. Other nations live comfortably and feel no conviction. America, home of the witches, frontin' like they brave, they just slaves to the riches. Hebrews killing other Hebrews, this becoming a tradition. Our own nation living turmoil with no repentance.
The clock is counting down, please tell me what you're gonna do. Just being a witness, giving attention to the truth. They conspire to hide the identity from you. Many are offended, we exposing how they do you.
They don't love us as a whole, they don't love us. It's a small remnant of them that got some love for us. Love not an emotion, it's defined by the word. Read 1 Corinthians 13, been observed. Love always rejoice when justice is won. Cops killing Hebrews, there been no justice from one. If your soul don't ache, then you're faking the fun. All that love is undone, see they thought that we was done.
They never seen me coming, young Israelite soldier. Knew that I would do something big when I got older. Turning up the heat, I feel this world has got colder. Every single burden, I just let it off my shoulder.
America, home of the witches, frontin' like they brave, they just slaves to the riches. Five old slave catchers, leave a brew missing. Other nations live comfortably and feel no conviction. America, home of the witches, frontin' like they brave, they just slaves to the riches. Hebrews killing other Hebrews, this becoming a tradition. Our own nation living turmoil with no repentance.
Tell me where your conscience go when you came to this land. Ship look like a bunch of sardines sitting in the can. Some say that they African, others say American. Or they slap them both together, look at how we join the hands. This one for my ancestors under the attack. Picking cotton in the sun, long hours breaking sweats. Fly to me with Section 8, dump me in them projects. Imagine that, they just trying to keep the yoke up on our neck. But you found out you a brute, not another project. Why we curse? Cause our fathers tweaked and broke the contract. Let's reverse all these curses and continue being blessed. Kumbaya, hear ya, how we come by ya, I'm no longer distressed.
They never seen me coming, young Israelite soldier. Knew that I would do something big when I got older. Turning up the heat, I feel this world has got colder. Every single burden, I just let it off my shoulder.
America, home of the witches, frontin' like they brave, they just slaves to the riches. Five old slave catchers, leave a brew missing. Other nations live comfortably and feel no conviction. America, home of the witches, frontin' like they brave, they just slaves to the riches. Hebrews killing other Hebrews, it's becoming a tradition. Our own nation living turmoil with no repentance.
Shalom, shalom. Again, this is Yahshua with Israel Now Radio. I want to give all praise and honor to the Most High Yahweh, and wanted to announce again the men's fellowship that we have coming up December the 21st and 22nd. That is a Friday and Saturday. So for all the, you know, Israelite men, all the men that's in truth all over the country, all the men that's looking to learn truth, you know, all over the country, you're welcome to come to the city of Cincinnati where we'll be having the gathering, again, December the 21st and 22nd. So just contact us. You can contact Actually, I could forward the message. So those of y'all that listen to the show, any questions or anything, just contact our Israel Now Facebook page, ISRAEL space NOWW, two W's. Contact that page. You can send us an inbox, and we'll get you the rest of the information that you need. For those men that may, you know, be married and may want to travel with their wives, it is strictly for a men's conference. But also, we do have a local assembly in the city of Cincinnati where the women will still be gathering on the Sabbath day. So you're welcome to come travel with your wife. She'll be welcome to go there with the other sisters, Israel Now, to our congregation. Well, she'll be treated, you know, with sisterly love. So definitely that's something that can work out as well. I know some of the guys may have thought of, you know, things like that, traveling with your wife, where would she go since it's just a men's conference. So I just wanted to throw that out there as well. I know Joseph, I think he just gave an interview on the Spiritual Combat show the other night and concerning things like that as well. So, all right. So, you know, just wanted to kind of just get into a few scriptures today, talk to the people today. Hopefully everybody week is going good so far. We entering in this what I call the unholy season because none of our holy days are coming up for a while. Yeah, we do have Hanukkah. We have Purim, which will be in the 12th month. But none of the commanded holy days will be coming up for a while till, you know, March or April whenever, you know, Passover comes up. So, but during this whole time, it's an unholy season, which I kind of coined it only because during this whole time is when the world are gathering up all their steam, all their ammunition, and they in full throttle with the false spirit, full throttle with all the lies, full throttle with, you know, everything that's contrary to truth, you know, starting with what's coming up this week, known as Thanksgiving. We know that the Europeans came to this land, persecuted the native people that was here, killed them off, put smallpox in their sheets, killed them off, put some into slavery, put some on slave ships, sent them away to Spain. Now, when I say the native that was here, I am talking about two distinct groups of people that was here in the land called Americas at the time of European arrival. There were those that were, I'm going to use these three phrases for so people can understand more better. These three phrases would be Negroid, Mongoloid, and Caucasoid. All right, when we're talking about a Negroid people, we're talking about all so-called black people with woolly hair upon the face of the earth, not just Israelites, but all so-called black people with woolly hair. When we say Caucasoid people, we're talking about all white people. When we say Mongoloid people, we're talking about all the other people in between, whether they be Asians, whether they be Arabs, whether they be Mexicans or different things like that, okay? So just so everybody can have a clear picture of what I'm saying. So when the Europeans came to this land that we call America today, there were people already living here. There were two distinct groups of people. I'm not talking about separating all the tribes from the Creek tribe to the Chickasaw tribe to the Seminole tribe. They will all be in one category. You can fit those people, most of them anyway, in one category that you think about when you say that. We're going to divide these people into two categories, all right? The people that we think of with the long, stringy hair, who they call the Indians, those group of people who most people think of, they will be a Mongoloid people. Those people were here in the land known as America when the Europeans arrived. There was also a Negroid people who were here when the Europeans arrived. And those Negroid people were actually from the 12 tribes of Israel. They were actually from the 10 tribes of Israel, the northern kingdom of Israel. And those Negroid people who were here when the Europeans came over, they were also living among those Mongoloid people. And some of them was known as from the Cherokee tribes and different things like that as well. All right, so these two distinct groups of people were here in a land called that we call America now. When the Europeans arrived and different Europeans, when you go through the history, described what the people looked like. And a lot of time they were describing the Negroid people when they described their hair. Not every time. So we know that there were two distinct groups of people here. Well, how did the Mongoloid people get here? They got here from a land known as Siberia. If you go to your internet and you do a search and you search out the Siberian people, Siberia is a part of Russia. It's a more distinct part of Russia. They're not so much in with the rest of Russia, but it is a part of Russia. And you can pull up the Siberian people. You can pull up pictures of them. You can pull up videos, and people did studies on these people and different things like that. You can see how they lived and how they dressed in Siberia and what they look like. They look a lot like what we have come to call Native American Indians today. The same type of clothing, the same type of feathers and on their head and all that different stuff they were doing in Siberia, and they brought that over to the Americas. They came over the Bering Strait, and that's how they arrived here. Pretty much all history testifies to that fact. All right. So now when our people look at the Negroid people that were here, they came over. From when we read the book of in the Apocrypha, when we go to 2nd Esdras chapter 13, and it talks about how the 10 tribes went to a land where no man had dwelt, and they went there, and it took them a year and a half to get there, and they got on a ship and they sailed there. All right, that's how we found that was found the 10 commandments in ancient Hebrew in this land, and all these different things, because it came from the true Israelites who were here. So when you understand this history and you understand everything that happened, you understand that when the Europeans got here, the Negroid people who were from the 10 tribes, they were gathered up and put on ships and sent to Spain to be slaves. And subsequently, you know, that's what happened to them, and we know, you know, the rest of the history. So I brought that up to say this. During this unholy time and this unholy season, those of us that know that we don't celebrate Thanksgiving, but we also looked at it as, why would I celebrate my enemies, the European slaughter of another people? That has nothing to do with us. Why would we celebrate something like that? That's not a righteous thing. But then when we find out that our people, the true Israelites, were also in this land, and they also gathered them up and put them on slave ships and sent them to Spain, and then used this same land to go to the west coast of Africa and get the southern kingdom Israelites and bring us over here to make us slaves, then it's more personal now that some of our people were wrapped up in that as well as soon as they got here and took the land from them and put them on slave ships and sent them to Spain to be slaves. So why would we as Israelites celebrate our own destruction? Why would we as Israelites celebrate our own defeat? Celebrate our own downfall? If somebody break into your house and steal all of your stuff you have in your house, take your TV, take all of your belongings, take your bed, all the things that you have in your house, the things that you hold dearly, everything that belongs to you. Not only that, take your child and take your wife, and then would you come back the year after that and celebrate this day with a big feast and a celebration? No, you wouldn't do that, you know. And our people have to wake up, and that's what we for, the true Israelites. The Almighty is waking us up all around the country, and each one teach one. Each one got to wake up the next one, you know, and that's how it is. So why would we want to celebrate our own destruction? Why do we are the only people that are constantly celebrating our enemy's victory? So why are we the only people that's constantly celebrating something that doesn't belong to us when we have a ton of righteous things that do belong to us that we need to acknowledge and we need to celebrate and we need to adhere to? So again, the unholy season being kicked off, well, it was already kicked off with Halloween, which is a very, very wicked, you know, thing to do, because it's all about the communication with the dead, which the Almighty expressly told us not to do. Deuteronomy chapter 18, don't deal with any type of necromancer, any type of sorcerer, any type of any of that stuff, a witch, a soothsayer, any of that stuff the Almighty is totally against our people doing, all right? And so that's part of what Halloween is about. It's about connecting the living to the dead spirits, and that is supposed to be the time of the year when it is most easily to do, because the distance they say between the two is a shorter distance between the living and the dead. So they use that for that. That's nothing we should acknowledge. That's nothing we should even deal with. If anything, we need to be in spiritual warfare against these evil spirits that are coming out that night. We need to be in prayer, you know, that none of these things come nigh unto us. None of these things come nigh unto our children, our wives, our brothers, our sisters that we are communing with in truth and in faith. Now, we know we can't protect the whole world because some people are going to have to fall by the edge of the sword. Some people are have to, because of their disobedience, are going to have to get punished by these different things. And that's just how it is, you know. But for those of us that obey the Almighty and obey His commandments and have faith in Yahweh Shad Messiah, we want to be protected from all these things. As the scripture says, I will build for you a little sanctuary, even in the midst of captivity. So we're going through these times, and to see our different family members still, you know, getting excited about this time, ready to cook, ready to do all of this stuff. And we are awakening every single day, you know, but it's beautiful when even you can be used as a vessel to awaken your people. And that is not just for the teachers to do, that's for us all to do. And it's a lovely thing to see a lot of our people continuously bringing other people, other family members, other friends, other people that they meet in many of their walks of life, just sharing this truth with them and bringing them into it. So let me go to the book of Titus, chapter 1 and verse 14. It says, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. And that's what we do not want to do. Don't give heed to Jewish fables. Don't give heed to commandments of men. And what do they do? What do the Jewish fables and the commandments of men do? They both turn from the truth. They turn you away from the truth. So in this time, when you try to bring truth, this is what they're going to say to you. They're going to say, they're going to say one of a couple things. You know, when you bring out the truth about Christmas, you bring out the truth about Thanksgiving, you bring out the truth about Easter, they're going to say, well, that was a long time ago, you know. Or they're going to give you commandments of men. You know, what is the commandments of men? Well, this was Christ's birthday. That's a commandment of men. Nowhere does it say that. All right. So we know how to deal with these things, so we want to be covered by the true blood of Yahweh Shah HaMashiach, Yahweh Shah, the true Messiah, covered by that blood, and stay in His word, stay in His truth. All right? So we're going to kind of deal with some things on that topic today. What are some other traditions and commandments of men that we deal with? We deal with, as I started off, giving you guys the true history of who was here in America. It was not one nation here in America, and the sooner our people realize that, the sooner they're going to realize that the people that they are equating and giving heed to as far as this 12 tribes charts are not the people of the children of Israel, all right? They are not the people of the children of Israel. If you have, you know, Israel is a black nation. Israel was always a black nation. All 12 tribes was always black. When we go to Genesis, the 50th chapter, and it talks about when Jacob died, all of his sons went up with the burial. All of them went up. And the, let me think, who was with them? The Egyptians was with them. Because I think it was Joseph. Joseph had died. So all 12 tribes went up, you know, for the burial of Joseph. The Egyptians was with them. And then the Canaanites seen the Israelites, and they said that they said this must be a grievous day for the Egyptians. So wait a minute. So you have all black people, and the Canaanites mistake the Israelites for being Egyptians. All right. So all 12 tribes were there. So the way the 12 tribes chart is mapped out today, they have Judah black and Levi's black and maybe one other tribe, but all the other tribes are like a mongoloid looking people. That's just not the case. If we have, we go into the true history, we figure these things out. All right. But, first, 2 Timothy, let's go there. 2 Timothy chapter 2. I'm going to read verses 1 through 4. So don't be deceived by any of this stuff, because Again, Satan is going around as a roaring lion and deceiving many people on many different levels, on many, many different levels. The scripture says Satan deceived the whole world except for the very elect. How do you know you're part of that very elect? Even within the congregations of Israel, even within the camps of Israelites that has woken up to their nationality, even within that, is many deceptions going on, many deceptions. So how do you know if you're deceived or not? Even within Christianity, within Islam, within many camps of Israelites, if we could read with understanding and we could break down these scriptures and everything that we're doing and everything that we're doing is matching up with scriptures, we know that we're not deceived. All right? But if we're given watered down doctrine, you're deceived. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. Says, I charge thee therefore before Elohim and the Lord Yahawashah Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. That's what we need to do. We need to do these things. Preach the word. We need to be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Reprove the word. These things are coming out, need to be reproved. Some of these things need to be rebuked. Some things need to be exhorted. We need exhortation, but we need to do it with all longsuffering and doctrine, which is teaching, with all longsuffering, because why? They may not get it the first time. They may not get it the second time, but we stay hold fast and we stay on this truth, and it takes time. You know, everybody that you talk to might not get it the first time, but we stay on this truth and we stay on that righteous path. Verse 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itchy ears. So this is the time that we're living in right now. The time has come where people do not endure sound doctrine. People want to be lied to. People want to, we know this a whole lot by the season that we're in. Tell anybody about the truth of Christmas right now, and you're going to see how they have itchy ears. They're going to go find some preacher to tell them what they want to hear. And we all know it's a lie. And we all know it's nowhere to be found in the scripture, all this stuff you're doing. Why? Because this is exactly what they're doing. They are heaping unto themselves teachers having itching ears. Verse 4, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. That's what's happening right now. The people have turned their ears away from the truth, and they're turned into fables. They're turned into lies. This is something that they tell little kids, little fairy tales, and adults are still rolling with it right now today, not knowing that the Almighty Yah is looking down from the heavens, and the Almighty's anger is just getting more furious and more furious, and people don't realize. Why are there these hurricanes happening? Why is all of these fires going on? Why is all of this stuff happening and going on? But the elect, what are we doing? What are we supposed to do? Constantly preparing for everything to come, preparing ourselves physically, being in shape, preparing ourselves mentally, having a mental fortitude, preparing ourselves spiritually, that we know no matter what happens, we in this truth, we with the Almighty. We see these scriptures, we know what's going to happen. Preparing ourselves one towards another, having that fellowship and having that love one towards another, where we will be there for each other, preparing ourselves in all these types of ways. But in a lot of ways, what the scriptures say, the children of the world sometimes are more wiser than the children of men. So we got to get on our thing, we got to get on our dean, and we got to prepare in every single way. We got to prepare, because the foolish are going to be just that, foolish, not recognizing we in these last days, not recognizing every time you turn on the TV, every time you turn on the radio, every time you read the internet, you look on any social media site, you look at the newspaper, whatever you find your means of communication, all I see is death and destruction. That's all that's out there. And when we go to the book of Revelation, which is talking about the last days, and we start to read the seals, when this seals was open, when this seals was open, when this trumpet was blown, when this trumpet was blown, that's all it is death and destruction. Because these are the days that we're living in. And the great prophets aforetime told us that this is how it was going to be, told us exactly what was going to happen. But our brothers and sisters have the same scriptures that we have. But what do they do when they go to church every Sunday? They open a book. They find one verse that's going to put some money in their pocket. Then they close the book. Then they dance and they sing and they take up an offering and they play church. And the whole world around them is going into chaos. And we have many homosexuality in these churches. Why? Anybody ever read Romans chapter 1? In the first chapter of Romans, the scripture tell you why so much homosexuality in the churches. I'm going to sum it up. I'm not going to read that, but it's pretty much is letting you know, read Romans chapter 1 in context, in detail, and think about what you see when you look at these Sunday Christian churches. The Almighty is letting us know, look, when you reject my truth and you reject my word and you reject my commandment, you're turned over into homosexuality. That's why so much of that in the churches. Because they rejected the Almighty's truth. They rejected the Almighty's word. They rejected what they should be doing. And they gave heed into what? Fables, commandments of men. They gave heed into lies. All right? And it's a shame. Let's go to the book of Mark, chapter 7. See what we can glean from these scriptures. Mark chapter 7, I'm going to read verses 1 through 9. And again, as always, anybody that have any questions or comments, you can always push number 1. I'll get you online. And you can chat with me, see whatever questions or comments or anything you had to add to the conversation. So Mark chapter 7, verses 1 through 9. Then came together unto the Pharisees and certain of the scribes, which came from Jerusalem. And when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is to say, with unwashed hands, they found fault. All right, so we see that here. They found fault. Why? Because they seen them eat bread and not wash their hands. Verse 3, for the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands oft, eat not, holding the tradition of the elders. So they held what? The tradition of the elders. All right. Verse 4. And when they come from the market, except they wash, they eat not. And other things there be, which they have received to hold, as the washing of cups and pots and brazen vessels and of tables. Then the Pharisees and scribes asked him, Why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashing hands? Verse 6, he answered and said unto them, well hath Esaias prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of Elohim, ye hold the tradition of men, as the washing of pots and cups, and many other such things ye do. And he said unto them, fool, ye reject the commandment of Elohim, that ye may keep your tradition. And that's the day we're living in right now today. So if we think about this and just exchange some of these words out. And that's why when we teach, we try very diligently to teach the Almighty's law and not teach the commandments of men. All right. So just change these words out. It was 2,000 years ago. You can replace this word Pharisees with other words, with church. What are they doing today? They teach them for doctrine, the commandments of men. Whatever different camp congregation teaching a doctrine of commandments of men and rejecting the commandments of the Most High. This is what we want to be careful not to do, because that's how you slip away into falsehood. You do it 1 year, and then the next year, you got something else going on where you're bringing in more commandments of men and rejecting the commandments of Elohim at the same time you're bringing in more commandments of men. That's just how it happens. And people don't even notice that they're doing it. You don't notice that you're doing it unless you check yourself and you have checks and balances and you stick to the law that says do not add nor take away. And after a few years, next thing you know, you're doing something totally different than what you should be doing, and you're rejecting the things that the Almighty's law really says, and you're not even doing that thing. And that's how it slips away, because it is what the enemy, it's the enemy, it's the trick of the enemy, it's the trick of the evil one, it's the trick of Satan. And Satan are using men. Some of these men are crafty with the scriptures, will make you think like you're doing what the Almighty said, make you think like this is that, you know. So and that's how it happens. And the next thing you know, like I said, you're doing all type of stuff that are commandments of men. I had a conversation a few months back with a brother and a sister, and the brother actually called me to verify some stuff, because a sister, she was saying that, and she was sure about this, that no, you have to, on Rosh Hashanah, it's in the scriptures that you have to get a bunch of apples and go throw them in the lake. And most Israelites are thinking like, well, what are you talking about? We never heard that before. That's definitely not in the scriptures, which it is definitely not in the scriptures. But this sister was for sure that that was in the scriptures somewhere, because all the people that she's been around, every year, the time we call Feast of Trumpets, which is the time of people in Judaism called Rosh Hashanah, they go and throw apples in the lake. And if you see that year after year, and you've been doing this for many, many years, right, and you've been around all these people that's doing this for many years, and they talk about it every year, it's time to go throw apples in the lake, and you assume that these things are actually in the scripture, you know. And that's just one example of many, you know, many examples of everything that's going on now. Our people assume Christmas is in the scriptures, which is nowhere to be found. They assume Easter is in the scriptures, which is nowhere to be found. And even if we get on the Israelite tip, you know, are people assuming that reincarnation is in the scriptures? Reincarnation is not the truth of the scriptures. The truth of the scriptures is the Almighty has given us one life to live. This life that you have right now, for everybody within the sound of my voice, this is the life that you have right now to please the Almighty Yah, so you can make it into that eternal life that was promised, so you can make it into New Jerusalem, so you can have what the Messiah say, I go to prepare a place for you, so you can be in that place that the Messiah is preparing for the righteous. This is the one life and the one shot you have. And if your teacher is not teaching you to do what thus saith Yah, then you need to go somewhere else, find a different teacher, and stop playing these religious games, stop playing these cult games and all this different type of stuff. All right? Because when people really understand what a cult is, even some Israelite congregations are cults, the way that they operate. You know, when certain places are 501c3, they're 501c3 for a reason. A 501c3 is a business. That's what it is. It's a business. So expect them to operate like a business. If they don't operate like a business, there was no use to even being or getting a 501c3. All right? So what we need to do, because I hear that a lot, I see it a lot on Facebook, oh, they 501c3, this and that. You know what I mean? Well, expect them to operate like that. What we want to do as far as what we're trying to set up, we're trying to be about this real truth. We're trying to wake up our people. We're trying to use our gifts and talents. Because like the Messiah said, don't go and bury your talent and not have nothing to show for it. You know, so we're trying to use our gifts and talents that the Almighty has given us to glorify the Almighty Yahweh. And in turn, the Almighty will be with us and bless us and give us eternal life and be with us even in this life and help us to prosper and help us to be blessed and help our children to be blessed. So we're using our gifts and our talents, and we come together and we have real love one towards another. And we hang all the law on the love of the Most High Yahweh with all our heart, all our might, all our soul, and the love of our brother as ourself. Because no man hates his own self. You love yourself. Matthew 12. Let's go there. Matthew, the 12th chapter. I'm going to start at verse 1. Read down to the 14th verse. So, Matthew chapter 12, verse 1. And at that time, Yahushua went on the Sabbath day through the corn, and his disciples were hungry, and began to pluck the ears of corn and to eat. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, Behold, thy disciples do that which is unlawful to do on the Sabbath day. Now, how is that unlawful to do? Because what were they doing again? They were keeping the commandments of men and not the commandments of the Most High. Now, of course, we know you're not supposed to work on the Sabbath day. They plucked a few ears so they could eat while the Messiah is teaching them, and he's breaking down scriptures to them. He's teaching them spiritual things, you know. So if a tree hanging there has some food on it or whatever, you can grab that and eat that. You can't go get a bunch of buckets and fill them all up and carry them for one day and keep filling up buckets like you're doing some type of work, some major distribution. No, but you can pick a piece and eat it. All right? So, again, that's why the Messiah has told them all through the book, you are hypocrites, because what they were doing will work in as well on the Sabbath day, but they were doing work on the Sabbath, but then they would try to watch every single thing they do. And that's what the people do today. For the righteous, we're out doing our thing, trying to serve the Almighty the way we're supposed to, and then what happens? The wicked are always watching. They always watch. Oh, well, I seen you do this. Oh, well, I seen you do that. You weren't supposed to do. That's literally what they do, and it's their job to do it. We got to be on our job. All right? So it says, go back to verse 2. But the Pharisees saw it. They said unto him, Behold, thy disciples do that which is unlawful to do on the Sabbath day. But he said unto them, Have ye not read what David did when he was hungered, and they that were with him, how he entered into the house of Elohim and did eat the shewbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priest. All right, so he's bringing out what David did. And we brought that out a while back when we had this discussion as far as the lunar Sabbath and the real Sabbath. You know, and the Messiah is making this comparison. Why? Because, for number one, the Messiah recognized that what David did was on the Sabbath day as well, because that is the accusation here, the Sabbath day. All right, the accusation here is not about them eating. It's about, are they doing that which is unlawful on the what? On the Sabbath day. All right. Verse 5. Or have ye not read in the law how that on the Sabbath days the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? But I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple. But if ye had known what this meaneth, I would have mercy and not sacrifice. Ye would not have condemned the guiltless. Verse 8, for the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath day. And when he was departed thence, he went into their synagogue. Verse 10, and behold, there was a man which had his hand withered. And they asked him, saying, Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days? That they might accuse him. So they're trying to set him up. Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? Because this man's hand is withered. You see how the unlove they operate in, how they just operate in, we just want to catch him doing something wrong all day long. But what did the Messiah say? Verse 11. And he said unto them, What man shall be there among you that shall have one sheep, and if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will not lay hold on it and fill it out? Verse 12, how much then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore is it lawful to do well on the Sabbath, or wherefore to do well on the Sabbath day? Or it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath days. Verse 13, then said he to the man, Stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it forth, and it was restored whole like as the other. Then the Pharisees went out and held their counsel against him, how that they might destroy him. also now, because he healed this man, they went out to try to, let's counsel how we can destroy him. And that's what the wicked do. It's no different in that day as it is today. That's what the wicked do. Now they want to destroy him. Why? Because he's doing good. He's doing good on the Sabbath day. He's doing what's right on the Sabbath day. All right. So we see how this all plays out. So again, we can read these things that happened to Yahawashah 2,000 years ago, that happened to the Messiah 2,000 years ago, but we can also put it in place today because the wicked is still operating in this same fashion today. And remember this, there are tares among the wheat, meaning some of these people are among the Israelite congregations. Some of these people are different Israelites in different groups and different just people, individuals, whatever they may be. It's tares among the wheat. And the Messiah let us know that the tares are going to be among the wheat until the harvest. All right. And the harvest he's referring to is his second coming. Let them both grow together until the harvest. All right. Because tares look like wheat. And they say, look, if we pluck out the tares, we're going to pluck out the wheat also, because they right in there among them. They sitting in the same places. They getting the same teachers. But one accepts the teaching wholeheartedly in his heart, and the other is using it for his own agenda or her own agenda. That's what some people do. People want to know the truth to be the big shot. They don't want to know the Most High. They don't want a personal relationship with the Almighty Yahweh. They want to be seen in the eyes of men. So all of these things are things that we got to watch out for. All of these things that we got to be diligent in our prayers, diligent in our righteousness, and the Almighty will reveal these things unto us. The Almighty will definitely reveal these things unto us. So commandments of men, Jewish fables, you know, people seeking out teachers to tell them, having itchy ears to tell them what they want to hear that is not of the Almighty's truth. That's how it is. That's exactly how it is. Deuteronomy 4. Let's go there. Deuteronomy chapter 4. I'm going to start reading at the 14th verse. Down to the 22nd verse. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 14, down to 22. And Yahweh commanded me at the time to teach you statutes and judgment, that ye might do them in the land whether ye go over to possess it. Take ye therefore good heed unto yourselves, for ye saw no manner of similitude on the day that Yahweh spake unto you in Horeb, in the midst of the fire, lest ye corrupt yourselves and make you a graven image, the similitude of any figure, the likeness of male or female, the likeness of any beast that is on the earth, the likeness of any winged fowl that flieth in the air, the likeness of anything that creepeth on the ground, the likeness of any fish that is in the waters beneath the earth. And lest thou lift up thine eyes unto heaven, and when thou seest the sun and the moon and the stars, even all the host of heaven, shouldest be driven to worship them and serve them, which Yahweh thy Elohim giveth thee unto all nations under the whole heaven. All right, verse 20. But Yahweh have taken you and brought you forth out of the iron furnace, even out of Egypt, to be unto him a people of inheritance, as ye are this day. Furthermore, Yahweh was angry with me for your sakes, and swore that I should not go over Jordan, and that I should not go in unto that good land, which Yahweh thy Elohim giveth thee for an inheritance. But I must die in the land. I must not go over Jordan, but ye shall go over and possess that good land. So this is a great, great, you know, chapter. These are some great verses we just read. So let's go back and kind of sum them up a little bit. I'm going to pick out a few things I want to touch on. Go back to the 16th verse. Lest ye corrupt yourselves and make you a graven image, the similitude of any figure. Actually, let me just start at the 15th verse. It says, take ye therefore good heed unto yourselves, for ye saw no manner of similitude on the day that Yahweh spake unto you in Horeb out of the midst of the fire. So the Almighty said, look, I spoke to you, Israel, out of the midst of the fire in Horeb, but you did not see what I looked like. You have no idea what I looked like. All right? He said, you didn't see anything. You seen no image. You didn't see what I looked like in that day when I spoke to you. You didn't see a bird. You didn't see anything, any type of animal. You didn't see a male nor female. And look at verse 16. It says, lest ye corrupt yourselves and make you a graven image, the similitude of any figure. Don't make any figure that represents me, the likeness of male or female. Are people doing that today? You know, are some of our grandparents still have those pictures in their house of this white man who is really Cesar Bozier? They still have that picture in their house, and they say that that is the Most High, because they say that is Christ, and they believe Christ is the Almighty. That's going directly against this commandment. And even Israelites have done it. I don't know how many times I've seen that picture, that Israelites, they even carry that to the streets with them. That is a graven image. Why is it a graven image? Because it is an image of the Most High in his glorified state, according to Revelations, the first chapter, the way he is described in his glorified state. And since he is described in his glorified state, you can only read it. You can only write about it, that the prophet will get into. But according to this commandment, you are not supposed to make an image about it. And when he was in his glorified state, that's how he looked when he made the earth. John chapter 1 and verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word was with Elohim, the Word was Elohim. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. He is the one that made the heaven and the earth, the sea, and all that therein is. And in Revelation 1, it tells you how he looked. You're only supposed to read it. You're only supposed to teach about it. You're not supposed to try to draw it and take that out to the streets and teach our people sin. Now, some will say, well, that's how he looked when he walked the earth 2,000 years ago. Definitely not. When you read it, it talks about how he shined like the sun. It talks about all these different things that you know it is his glorified state, because that is his state after the resurrection. That is his state once he's in heaven. This is the book of Revelation. And since we know he is the creator, since we know that Elohim is plural, since we know he is the creator, then you should not make any image of him in that state. And they're carrying that image around, going directly against the commandment of Deuteronomy 4. Don't make any image, male nor female. Verse 17, the likeness of any beast that is on the earth, the likeness of any winged fowl that flyeth in the air. Don't make the likeness of any of these things. They're supposed to represent the Most High. That's what it's talking about. The context is, you didn't see any image when I spoke to you out of the fire in Horeb. Therefore, don't make no image of me. Not male, nor female, nor winged fowl, nor beast, nor any of this stuff. All right? But what are all the nations doing? You know, the different nations. The Egyptian nations had winged, they'll have a man body with an eagle head with wings. That was one of their deities. All of these things the Egyptians did, all of these things the nations that we were around did and are still doing, even unto this day. So the Almighty was telling us, look, Israel, you be separate. Don't be like them. Don't do none of this stuff. But what are we doing? We're doing the same thing. We condemn them, then we go draw our own picture. We condemn the white picture, then go draw our own picture. When the commandment says, don't make neither one of them. Okay, the Israelites is a black people. Exactly right. We're a chosen people. We know that from the descriptions of Israel throughout the scripture. We know that from the prophecies. The prophecy is the Almighty said, these signs will be upon the people. This is how you know Israel. You don't need a DNA test. You don't need nothing. Look for people that got these curses on them. That's Israel. We know we Israel. Israelites were being mistaken for Egyptians all through the scriptures. We know the Egyptians are black people, so we had to be black. Some Israelites get cursed and turn white. We could teach this all day long. But don't mean you need to make up a graven image. Then you're doing just like they're doing. You don't add sin to sin. All right? So the white image is sin as well as the black image is sin. Don't make no image. So we had 10 more minutes left in the show. So I'm going to open it up in case anybody have any questions and or comments. You can push number one and I'll get you on air. So just push number one, I'll get you on air, and I keep checking back, see if anybody had anything to speak about. But also to switch gears a little bit, we do have coming up, I know my aunt down in Texas talked about this a little bit via text. We do have Hanukkah coming up. So for those that want to observe it in any type of way, the dates for Hanukkah will be December the 1st at even, meaning sunset, all the way until December the 9th at sunset. It's a eight-day long festival. So December the 1st through December the 9th, that will be the dates for Hanukkah. And Hanukkah is definitely a good thing, a righteous thing we can celebrate. One of our victories that we won against the Greeks, and we were able to take back over our temple and rededicate that temple back to the Most High. That's what Hanukkah means, rededication, to dedicate it back to the Almighty. All right. So with that being said, I'm going to I'm gonna go out. I'm going to play a song. Give me a second. Let me get this other song queued up that I want to go into. But let me touch on Hanukkah a little bit more first before I go into the song. Being something I was forgetting to say about Hanukkah. So it's 8 days. The thing with Hanukkah is, you know, when we celebrate it, we definitely don't get on the internet and try to look and see how should I celebrate Hanukkah, because the only thing that's going to come up 9 times out of 10 is, and I'm pretty sure probably the only thing that's going to come up is stuff from Judaism, how they celebrate it, you know, and we do not want to follow any of their ways because all of their ways are grievous unto us in the truth. What that means is that if you start looking at how they celebrate it, you're going to find yourself in idolatry once again. You're going to find yourself with the Almighty being angry at us again. So the story of Hanukkah is just about the Greeks took over our temple. They polluted it. We fought them. We won our temple back. We took out all the wicked things they had in our temple, replaced them with the righteous things, and rededicated the temple back to the Almighty. Since we won that war, we decided to celebrate this for 8 days. All right. And in celebrating it for 8 days, it didn't always necessarily say what and exactly what they did and when, but we can come together during that time. We could talk about what happened. We could teach about it, and we could have fun together in righteousness, but not do anything that the world is doing to try to be like them or mimic them. So we're not giving gifts. In Judaism, they give gifts for Hanukkah. That story has nothing to do with giving gifts. They only give gifts in Judaism because they really want to celebrate Christmas. That's why they're giving gifts. All right. We're definitely not putting up no Hanukkah bush. They don't say nothing about putting up no Hanukkah bush. Well, it's during the same time of year that Christmas come up. And so in Judaism, what did the fake Jews do? They said, well, we're going to get a Hanukkah bush now and put gifts under the bush. Why? Because they're really celebrating Christmas, and that's what they really want to do, just falling right back into idolatry. So the scripture says, envy thou not the oppressor, nor choose none of his ways. So we're not envious of none of the stuff they do, and we're not choosing none of their ways. So if we want to make up our own righteous traditions on how we want to celebrate it, we come together And the children of Israel always like to have a good meal when we come together. That's all good. Have you something, you know, healthy for you, different things like that. Have your children can play together. No gifts, no Hanukkah bush, no type of tree, no none of that stuff, no gifts or anything. Just come together in brotherhood and in love. And when we come together, we just have a good time. We teach about our story of Hanukkah. We teach about who we really are. You know what I mean? And that's what that's about. So we're not doing any Kwanzaa celebrations or Christmas celebrations. Kwanzaa is just for our people who don't know who they are. That's why the man made up Kwanzaa, because he's like, look, we don't have nothing that's ours, so I'm going to make up these traditions because Christmas is not ours. We've been in the captivity. We lost who we were as a people, so I'm going to make up some good principles that I came together. Well, we don't need none of that. Why? Because we know exactly who we are. We're the children of Israel, the Almighty chosen people. We're the seed of Jacob, scattered throughout the lands of captivity, and we're waking our people up, so we don't need Kwanzaa. All right, so with that being said, I'm going to go out with a song or two. And just again, just wanted to say shalom, shalom to everybody for listening in. Thanks for listening in again. Join me again next Monday, same time.
Where you gonna go? Who you gonna run to? Run, run, pin the family against you. I know where to go, y'all the only one to run to. Run, 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 the enemy trying to catch you. Where you gonna go? Who you gonna run to? Run, run, pin the family against you. I know where to go, y'all the only one to run to.
You claim you raise your kids right. What does that matter if they don't know Yahuwah shot? Not keeping the Sabbath, still you looking down, standing on your degrees. When it all falls down, you'll wish you listened to me. I told you out of love, love you like a brother, concerned about your soul, your Christian ways uncovered. Who you really are, since you know, tell me this, who you pray to, who are you following? You reject what I teach you, you have felt a lesson, generous to yourself. Lock in your own blessings. I pray for you a clean heart. Open up your eyes. Separate from this world. You are running out of time.
Run, run, run. The enemy trying to catch you. Where you gonna go? Who you gonna run to? Run, run. Pin the family against you. I know where to go. Y'all the only one to run to. Run, run, run. The enemy trying to catch you. Where you gonna go? Who you gonna run to? Run, run, pin the family against you. I know where to go, y'all the only one to run to.
Your arrogance is ignorant, think you know everything. Stuck in pagan traditions, living a life of sin. You continue out of comfort, lacking spiritual growth. Now I feel distance from those I love most. He told me this would happen, I am not surprised. I see I lack your respect. You question what I have advised. You claim you read the Bible, then please read it again. Unless you peep the loophole through your peephole lens. After you learn the truth, there's no sacrifice of sin. Standing outside the gate, you watching me going in. Not popular opinion, see I go against the trend. I must make my calling short, even if I go against my kin.
Run, 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 the enemy trying to catch you. Where you gonna go? Who you gonna run to? Run, run, pin the family against you. I know where to go, y'all the only one to run to. Run, 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 the enemy trying to catch you. Where you gonna go? Who you gonna run to? Run, run, pin the family against you. I know where to go, y'all the only one to run to.
Cold-blooded was the approach that's charged. When no love is given, to return is kinda hard. What a woman sow, she shall surely reap. When emotions get high, be careful what you speak. Blessed are the meek, don't mistake that as weak. Been consistent for a while, I feel I'm about to reach my peak. Picasso with the words, you painted a bad pic. Tried to carry your baggage, your luggage was full of bricks. unforgiveness, sheesh. Prideful to say the least. The pain is still mean, cause you had nothing to do with me. I know the antidote, trust y'all, keep the silence. Your deliverer's here, reach out and grab it.
They got their ruach. They got their ruach. She got their ruach. They got their ruach.